Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and with me today is Andrew Hall. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Robert.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Andrew is a program manager on the Visual Studio Debugger.
That's correct.
And you are here to show us cool new things in debugging in Visual Studio 2015.
I am.
Which was formerly known as Dev14, but now we can use its real name.
I like it.
Which is awesome.
That's right.
So what's new in debugging?
So we're about three things today. One should apply to anybody that uses the Visual Studio Debugger. Any language, doesn't matter. We've made some improvements to the way that you configure breakpoint settings.
Okay.
Should be an easier experience to use. It's not really any new functionality, but it's just nicer functionality, makes it easier while you're doing that. Then we're going to talk about an improvement for managed language developers, so that's Visual Basic and C#, developers to be specific. Some stuff you can do in the watch window, and then we're going to talk about an improvement we've made for C++ developers
cool.
as well.
All right.
So let's jump right in and start looking at the breakpoint stuff that applies to everybody. So I'm going to start by debugging an actual problem here with our breakpoints. I have an application that's going to encode and decode some characters, so I'm not passing stuff in clear text between a client and a server, and you can see that it's failing on character 75.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and jump in and start debugging that right away. And so I'm going to go ahead and set a breakpoint in the function that's applying byte shift. And immediately you're going to notice this little toolbar pops up here right to the top right of the breakpoint. And I can do two things from that. I can open the settings window, or I can enable and disable that breakpoint. So that's something that I couldn't do before in Visual Studio. I had to right-click and go to the context menu. And in fact, if I do go to the context menu, you'll notice that before, there was a whole bunch of different options on the context menu in Visual Studio 2013.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have Visual Studio 2013 here, so we can take a quick look. And you can see I have all these options, location, condition, hit count, filter, when hit. And so in Visual Studio 2015, we've actually consolidated that into a single settings thing.
Cool.
So if I do that from either the context menu or let's go back to our new toolbar and open it that way. The next thing you're going to notice is before, it would have opened a modal dialog for each one of those settings. So besides just combining them all into the same single dialog, it's not modal anymore. It's actually living in a peek window. I can interact with my editor if I want. I can highlight stuff. I can type. We'll go ahead and undo that. I don't want to do that. But I can just start debugging from right here. I'm not locked into this dialog anymore. And you can see we've consolidated everything into two concepts, the concept of conditions and the concept of actions.
Yep.
And breakpoints have always implicitly been that, even if you hadn't thought about it that way, because you're really asking the debugger, when execution reaches this line of code, that's your condition, stop debugging, or break debugging, and that's your action. So we've formatted breakpoints like that now in Visual Studio 2015. So if I check the conditions checkbox, it's going to give me the ability to specify my conditions. These are the things that were in the other context menu before. So I can do a conditional expression. Here I can type anything that I could put in an if clause. It just needs to evaluate to a Boolean expression. And the debugger will stop only when execution reaches that location and that condition is satisfied.
Right.
It's like going and entering an if condition in your code and then putting a breakpoint inside the if condition, only you don't have to modify code to do it. The other options that I have is a hit count breakpoint. So this will tell the debugger to break only when it's reached that location a certain number of times. And then I can do a filter breakpoint. Filter breakpoint is typically used when you're running code in parallel. It lets you do functionality such as machine name, process ID, thread name, thread ID, or process name. So it's probably not something you'll use as frequently, but it's there. And I can combine as many of these as I want. So I could do a conditional expression. So I could say x equals equal, let's just say mast equals 10. And if I wanted, I could go ahead and I could add a hit count as well. So now if I want to combine things, instead of going to different dialogues, like I would have had to before, it just all lives here. And then when we move down to the actions, the only action we have at the moment is the ability to print a message to the output window. So this is something we called a trace point before, if you've dealt with it. And I can choose to type any message I want. There's three types of text that can be done in a trace point. I can do plain old text, so, you know, hi, Robert. And then I can choose to print values from my program. So if I put those inside a curly brace, it will actually print the value of mast rather than just the word mast. You notice that there's now IntelliSense here, so that's another improvement that we've made. And then the final thing we have is something called pseudo variables. We've also added IntelliSense for these. That's an improvement. And what these are going to do is going to tell the debugger to expand this out to whatever that value represents at runtime when it's hit. So I could choose the address, the caller, the call stack, the function. I won't go through all of them. But
cool.
So if I do this, for example, it would say, hi, Robert. It would print the value of mast. And then it would print the function that it was executing inside of. And then the final thing is this checkbox down here that says continue execution. Typically for a trace point, when you're executing, you really want it to print to the output window if you're something's running a lot of times, so you don't have to break and inspect manually. And then you want it to just keep going, so you can go look in the output window and see what it
did. You said that this is the only action you have right now, so which implies that you're thinking of additional ones.
We are thinking of additional ones in the future. So. Something we'd like to get to. We don't know exactly when we're going to get to more actions, but we have some ideas in our head.
Can you give us a hint as the types of actions? And if the answer is no, that's fine.
Some of them we'd like to keep under wraps.
Okay.
One thing that you could think of would be the ability to execute additional function in your application. So you could go write some little helper function, and it might just be your action. Instead of printing a message, you might say call function.
Okay.
And so you might want to say when an execution reaches this point, go execute some other piece of code in the application.
Okay, cool.
That's one of the least interesting ones. But,
right.
So let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead back up. Remember we're failing at character 75.
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and not use a conditional expression here. In fact, I'm going to change it to be a hit count. And I want to break when I get to character 76. Because it's zero base, so failing at character 75 will be the 76th time that this function's executed. And I'm going to go ahead and just disable this action for now, so I can just uncheck it. I haven't lost anything there. It's just simply not going to be executed. And I can simply click Start Debugging. I don't have to close it. It's not modal. Everything's already saved for me. Notice that we have the concept of edit modes. You can see it's in edit mode.
Yeah.
As soon as focus goes away, back to, we call it design or read-only mode.
Right.
But it just works. Go ahead and hit Start Debugging. We're going to hit that breakpoint. Scroll up. And we'll head to my watch window. And we can see that the value of mast is 128. So I've actually figured out why character 75 is failing. My hit count breakpoint. So let's go ahead and back and look at our window now. And I can see that I'm current hit count is indeed 76. I could reset this if I wanted from inside the context of this window. I mentioned that we were failing at 75, that I see the problem. Problem is that this mast character is 128. That's not a valid ASCII character. ASCII characters only go from 0 to 127.
Right.
So in order to fix this bug, I would need to add a little bit of modular arithmetic to my application. So when I go to 128, let's roll around and let's be 0.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So that's our breakpoint. Let's take a look at how the trace point works just so we can see it in action. So I think I typed the message before, hi Robert, mast, and then we'll type $function. And so now if we hit start debugging and we go to the output window, you will notice that in here it says, hi Robert. 128 is the value that we had, and then the function is expanded out to the function that we were executing in the shared data library, custom encoder, apply byte shift. So let's move on to the improvements for C# and Visual Basic debugging in the watch windows. Any questions before we do that?
No, it's just so there's no, let's review, new functionality as opposed to just easier to use.
That's correct. There's nothing new that you can do in what you had there.
Right.
As I mentioned, we have some ideas about things we'd like to go do in the future.
Okay.
We felt like before we did that, we needed a nicer canvas to paint
on. It's just way easier to use.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay.
So we showed I showed the ability how you combine things. As you suppose, if you think back in Visual Studio 2013, if I wanted to combine a condition and a trace point, I'd have to go to the condition. I'd have to type my condition here. Then I'd have to accept it. Then I'd have to go back here. I'd have to right click. I'd have to say when hit. I'd have to go enter my information.
Yep.
Then I have to dismiss those dialogues to now start debugging because those are modal. Now everything lives in one place.
And it's also a lot easier to go back and see what the breakpoint is now because you can just hover over it and it shows up in line, right?
You have to open it.
Open it, okay.
It's not necessarily a hover, it won't just appear, but yeah, I don't have to close it while I'm debugging is the other big thing, because it's it just lives in that peak window if you use peak while editing.
Right, cool.
So, awesome. So, next scenario, we're in the same application. Mm-hmm. Now we're actually passing the encoded information back and forth between the client and server. And when I go ahead and run this, and launch it this time. And so I can see that as it runs through the test that I'm failing on this test by type desktop. So for some reason when it's asking for these applications that are of desktop applications, it's not succeeding. So I'm gonna go ahead to the server side and figure out what's going on with that. So I'm gonna go ahead and set a breakpoint. I'm gonna use the keyboard this time to set a breakpoint since we were just talking about breakpoints. And actually notice that the little toolbar that you saw before pops up and then briefly fades out in that case anyway. And so I'm gonna go ahead and set a, we know that it was failing for desktop.
The keyboard shortcut is what?
F9 is the keyboard shortcut. And then there's also a keyboard shortcut to open the settings window. Alt F9 and then C. So that's kind of hidden down there under the context menu. But I'm gonna start debugging. Sorry, I need to stop debugging and then start again. I hit this, and remember it was telling me that for some reason it's not getting any applications back that are of type desktop.
Right.
So I can see here that apps, let's see how many apps were returned. Sorry, so that's what I want to do is, in theory, I'd like to query this list of applications. There's 25 of them. You can see it's kind of a pain to go through and manually look at what each type is. So it'd be great if I could run a query against it. In previous versions of Visual Studio, that wasn't possible.
That would be awesome.
So now we have the ability to use a Lambda expression to query in this collection of applications. I can do it in the immediate window or the watch window. So let's do this syntax. Let's say from A in datasource.applications, select A.appType.distinct. And then because it's just these things are lazily evaluated, we're going to need to dump it to a list. And you can see that it executes, runs my Lambda expression, and I can see that indeed there are at least one thing of type desktop in that collection.
So should there slash will there be IntelliSense in the immediate window for that?
There should be IntelliSense in the immediate window.
All right.
So this is a preview version, so it doesn't always necessarily work.
So there will be.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
In fact, there is sometimes now anyway.
Okay.
Sometimes, just not all the time.
That is awesome.
So let's see what my current thing that I'm looking at. Decoded type is mobile, so that one wasn't having a problem. Let's hit F5, let's run it again. And we get to desktop, and I think I see what the problem is now, Robert. Desktop's lowercase.
Yes, it is.
So I have a hypothesis that I need to fix my Lambda expression to do a case-insensitive comparison.
Yep.
But can I validate this instead of stopping debugging, making my change, and then having to run it again and figure it out? It'd be great if I could try this under the debugger. So let's go ahead to the watch window, just to show that we work in both places. I'm going to copy and paste that in, but instead of the app type equals and my query being this, I'm going to add the string comparison. There's your IntelliSense for you. Mm-hmm. And let's do the ignore case.
In the watch window.
In the watch window.
Nice.
Now let's go ahead and accept this, hit enter. All right, so now I can see that it found all the ones that were of type, I'm in mobile. So let's go ahead and run now next time to desktop. Our desktop's there. Let's refresh our query. Got it.
All right.
Me typing incorrectly.
Okay. Cool.
right, so now if we go ahead and run these, when we expand them out, we can see that indeed we've selected the ones that type desktop. So I need to go back and I need to fix my query to make sure that it's a case insensitive comparison. Because I don't want my query being, just because I got a lowercase d, it wasn't finding anything.
Yep.
But I was able to check that out ahead of time by testing that out in the expression evaluator while debugging, as opposed to stop debugging, make my edit, start debugging again, see if it worked. If it didn't, try it again, right? So I
that
can try out everything that I'm doing ahead of time.
And that's way more efficient because you're in the context with the data loaded. You don't have to stop, make a change, run the entire app just to see that you typed something wrong, stop it, make a change, run the entire app. That's
way more
efficient.
You can see this isn't a super complex app.
Yeah.
We still have to wait 10, 12 seconds before we actually get to that place in the code. Now imagine if it was a real app and I had to sit there for 2-3 minutes to get back to that place in the code.
Cool.
So speaking of the ability to test things out while you're at that place in the code, the final improvement we want to talk about is something we've done for C++ developers. So I'm going to run have a C++ application here. That what I'm going to need to do is I need to invoke a function to test out some functionality while debugging. So I have this function sum. It basically just takes different arguments. It's going to sum them up, and it's going to return the value. The problem is the sum function actually holds a lock, or requires a lock that another thread in the application is holding.
Okay.
So there's the multi-threaded application. People can get in this state implicitly without really realizing it. Memory allocations require locks. And so if you try to call a function that has to allocate any memory, that happens every now and then. And another function in the the thread in the process happened to be in the middle of a memory allocation when you hit your breakpoint, when you stopped under the debugger, that function evaluation is not going to be able to succeed.
Right.
And so, in fact, let's go back to Visual Studio 2013 and let's see what happens when I try to make this call to sum that's going to require a lock that's being held by another thread. So let's call sum 05. It's going to sit, it's going to spin. The debugger is going to wait for it to execute for a while. When it doesn't finish, the debugger is going to have to give up on it, and then it's going to have to abort the evaluate function.
Okay.
So it wants to make sure that you're not sitting there forever watching a spinning donut. The problem is that when the abort occurs, we don't actually know what state your application is in anymore. So maybe I needed to run this to test something out. I wanted to see what this returned as I was passing in different parameters. But now my application's in this weird indeterminate state because the thread that I was currently executing on was actually just aborted.
Right.
So if that thread mattered for my application, I don't actually know what's going to happen in the context of application execution. Exact same application in Visual Studio 2015. What the debugger is going to do is going to use a functionality in Windows called Wait Chain Analysis. And it's going to detect that another thread is holding the lock that it requires. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to let all the threads in the application run so that thread can release the lock and my function can execute to completion.
Now, do you know how, can that take time for the threads to be released? I mean, how do you know?
So what the debugger does.
In 2013, it couldn't get it, so it aborted, right? Now you basically wait for it?
Yeah, so what happens is in previous versions of Visual Studio, the debugger would only execute the thread that you're currently stopped on. You'll try to execute that function that you call from the watch or the immediate window on that thread. It's the only thread in the process that's running. It lets it go for a period of time, 10 seconds if I recall correctly, and then it gives up. It says you didn't complete in 10 seconds. It's going to abort that, which is going to kill that thread that you're executing on. In Visual Studio 2015, the debugger is going to use, mentions Windows functionality called Wait Chain Analysis. It's going to say, is this function require any, trying to take any locks that any other threads in this process hold? If the answer is yes, then it's going to say, okay, I'm going to unfreeze all of the threads in the process and just let them run.
Okay.
And assuming the result of letting those other threads in the process run frees up your lock, then your function will execute to completion.
Okay.
It's not doesn't solve all deadlocks. If some other thread's waiting for some event to occur that isn't going to happen in that case, is never going to release that lock. But if it's just a timing-based problem, and I mentioned where we were seeing complaints about this was the memory allocation problem. You have a couple threads in your application. Another thread happened to be in the middle of an allocation. When you hit that breakpoint, you need to evaluate something from the watch window or the immediate window, because as you mentioned, you have all that context, so you want to pass in some, and you want to pass in a couple parameters that are in the context of where you are right now to see what that result is, then that wasn't going to succeed if that required any memory to be allocated. And so because memory allocation, you know, if you let the other thread run, it should finish its allocation, it should vacate that lock, then the function that you're calling can run to completion.
Excellent. Cool. All right. Cool stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool enhancements in debugging. All right, so a lot of cool stuff in Visual Studio 2015. This is just some of it, and you hinted at cooler stuff on the way in the future.
Yeah, we hope so.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.